actually worked this time. I actually got my sequencing right. Bases dropped on another edition of Soccer Down Here. Thanks for hanging out with us on a match day. It's very, very busy match day. And we will have a midweek whip around coming up toward the end of hour number one. Hour number two will consist of Dylan Butler. And provided I can get all the buttons pushed and make sure that everything is correct in the sequencing, Dylan Butler joins us at 10 o'clock for his weekly visit here at SDH. So let's see. So we got stuff to talk about and I can't do it. I can't do it the way that Jason does. So I'm just going to say it's in Anglin. So we got stuff to talk about there involving folks that are attached to the men's national team. We've got stuff going on in England having to do with transfers, not having to do with the men's national team. General news of the day over there. We've got the matches over here that are happening. So obviously toward the end of hour number one, we'll get the midweek whip around going. But I want to start things off with a couple of questions for you, faithful viewer slash listener. And this will consist of our morning kickoff brought to us by our friends at Kickoff Coffee, kickoffcoffeeco.com. And you can take a peek at that and what you can do. And once again, everybody, thanks for getting your Kickoff Coffee and getting your day started with our friends at Kickoff Coffee. Because if you use the code SOCCERDOWNHERE15, spell it out, because I know that there was some discussion yesterday in the Twitch pitch about the actual code. So spell it out, SOCCERDOWNHERE15. You get 15% off of your purchase, and then they in turn will turn around and invest 10% of their proceeds into the youth game. So once again, very, very cool stuff that our friends at Kickoff Coffee are doing, kickoffcoffeeco.com, and you can follow Kickoff Coffee CO on the social medias, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, and on the Facebook. See, I had to look. I just wanted to make sure because I wanted to get it right. So kickoffcoffeeco.com. And of course, still getting back into the swing of things. I forgot the Illuminize sign over my left shoulder. So we'll have our Illuminize promo. So just imagine that the Illuminize sign that is traditionally over my left shoulder is over my left shoulder. And so we'll catch up with our friends from Illuminize, and we'll let you know what's going on that's cool and good for them as well. That'll start, that'll be at the end of hour number one with the promo reminding you about Illuminize. But the opening kickoff, yeah, DM10, the sign was Illuminize. That's probably the best way to phrase it. But best way to start off this morning is I got a couple of questions for you. And they have to do with a couple different topics. First and foremost, since it's a midweek, and I wanted to know this because of how things are logistically these days, don't get the chance to kind of hang out with folks the way that we used to because of broadcast commitments, and I literally have to be now inside Mercedes-Benz 4 hours before kick, and so I can't like duck out as much as I used to and hang out with the 17s and the supporters groups and things like that. So I have a question, and it's more of a curiosity. When you tailgate in a midweek, how do you do it? And so that's my first question, because you're coming from work, you're doing all these things, you're making sure that you're getting to the match. How different is midweek tailgating and being there in your supporters groups than it is on a weekend when you have more time to do it and all these kinds of things? How different is it, since I'm inside and you're outside, how different is tailgating these days when you're in a midweek match versus a weekend match? And so I wanted to know the logistics and how involved it is and what you guys do and when you show up and when you don't and these kinds of things. So that's my first question. How different is tailgating in the midweek versus tailgating on the weekend? Because, do you sit there and all of a sudden at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, go, boss, I feeling pretty sick. I think I need to go. Do you do that? Or have you reserved those midweeks already, so the boss knows that you're checking out at like 1:30 or 2 o'clock and you're making your way to the match? I want to know how different your tailgating is and what goes into the tailgating aspect of it. And so that's my first question. Second question has to do with something that Tofka brought up yesterday. I think it was yesterday. All the days kind of run together, but it has to do with the new U.S., and it's the leaked version. So we have no officially official thoughts of that this is going to be the actual new hoops kit. But you have some pictures that have leaked, and so trying to figure out if the new kit that is being leaked is the actual kit. And so we're seeing new kits and things like that, and the World Cup ideas out there too. So I want to know, and this is how Tofka phrased it yesterday with the picture. So Tofka says, Nike wants to make money off lots of kit designs. That's fine. But for the love of God, can we not have this as our standard look just for World Cups? They can make all the crappy kits they want for 3 years and 10 months, but give us this for the other two. I'll admit, I wasn't as in love with it as many people were, but one, I always recognized it as well above the Nike average, and it's grown on me over time. Two, it best embodies what a Stars and Stripes kit should be. And three, it's unique among world soccer iconic kits. Four, gives freedom to do most anything with an alternate kit. So what do you think about the kit that was released and is apparently probably heading toward Qatar? So I want to know what you think about the kit. And that was what Tofka said. So those are my two thoughts coming in for this morning. That's the weekend kickoff brought to us by our friends at Kickoff Coffee. KickoffCoffeeCO.com. And yeah, once again, you can follow Kickoff Coffee CO on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. 15% off if you use the code soccer down here 15. And thanks to everybody who has been getting your Kickoff Coffee in that manner. And you can also be assured that 10% of the proceeds roll over into the youth game from our friends at Kickoff Coffee. And if you ever run into our friends at American Football Provisions, FUTBOL, they have some of that in addition to everything else that they have on their shelves. And by the way, just to give you an idea, when we were down in Fayetteville last week, this is the kind of stuff that you kind of stumble across from our friends from American Football Provisions. And I'm going to kind of break the fourth wall here a little bit. You know me, you've got the office here behind me, you've got everything going on. And so I saw from our friends at American Football Provisions that they had this in there on their shelves on a hanger. And I know that a lot of you sit there and think that, man, that's the best shot of Nelson we've had in quite some time. But yeah, they had the Cat 5 kit from Tormenta. And I'm like, yep, I gotta get that. So that's the kind of stuff that our friends at American Football Provisions, have on their shelves. So if you're ever at one of our live shows, you get to see what's on their shelves. So yeah, I saw the Cat 5 and had to pick it up from our friends at American Football Provisions. And so that's the kind of stuff that they do. And they also have Kickoff Coffee available there as well. So great stuff from our friends at American Football FUTBOL Provisions. So. That's the stuff that you can get from them when they're out and about and around. But early thoughts from this morning when it comes to everything. Yeah, Bam is in early this morning for us, our time. Bam, yep, good day. How good is LAFC in the second half? After last night, I think you might as well just go ahead and skip to the second 45. When it comes to LAFC, because it was goalless against a team that was north of plus 1,000 on the juice boxes. You are a prohibitive favorite, and you get the goal in the second half right after going a man up, and that's going to be even worse for DC United going up against Philly, that you won't have a burn bomb for that particular match. But you took advantage of it. It was a great transition with Vela, Chicha, and Opoku combining to make it 1-0, and that's really all you needed. You got the 3 points, and Bale and Chiellini once again, in a very San Antonio Spursian way, out from load management, and so LAFC did what you had to do, take care of business. We'll get into that with Atlanta United as well, but you got to take care of business tonight if you're in a situation where you need full points. And so yeah, knowing that Atlanta United needs full points tonight, got to take care of business at home against Red Bulls. We'll get into the juice boxes. Also this morning, what do you guys think about the match? We'll get into that here in this first hour. And what are you guys looking toward for this match tonight with Red Bulls? We have that to talk about as well. So midweek whip around, obviously, second half hour of the show, or here in the first hour. But let me know what your thoughts are with Atlanta United, with Red Bulls, all these kinds of things. So we'll keep an eye on that. But yeah, LAFC took care of business and did their thing last night. So Emilio, I wouldn't have expected us to play as close as DC against LAFC. And Sam Williamson, the other question, Christian Pulisic, that I wanted to get into this morning. There's talk, and this once again comes from our friends at Sky, and transfer the possibility of the notion that Manchester United are considering a loan move for Christian Pulisic. We'll get into this with Dylan also in hour number two, according to The Athletic. So this is what The Athletic is saying. The report claims that the 23-year-old wants to move to Old Trafford despite approaches from Newcastle, Juve, and Atletico Madrid. And this is, once again, their words. The American has found game time limited at Stamford Bridge, wants to play regularly ahead of this winter's World Cup in Qatar, where he will captain the USA. Chelsea signed Pulisic for a 57.6 million pound deal from Borussia Dortmund January 2019, failed to establish himself under Blues boss Thomas Tuchel, having started just 13 Premier League games last season with two substitute appearances in this campaign. So with that to the floor, and Sam, I'm with you. Why would Christian Pulisic want to go to Manchester United right now? He may play. It would depend on what Erik ten Hag would see in him on a weekly basis, getting prepared for a weekend match, and who would want to come to Manchester United right now. That, to me, is the other issue. The second part is where I'm holding things with Christian Pulisic. With Manchester United right now, the way that they are structured, Erik ten Hag has to tear things down more than he has to build things up. You've got to get rid of Cristiano Ronaldo. You have to. And we saw the news yesterday, and Jarrett and I talked about it. And for those asking, the real world stepped in for Jarrett this morning. So if he's able to hang out with us and can drop in for whip around or for later here in hour number one, hopefully he can. But we talked about this yesterday. Right now, you have to jettison folks. You've got Jadon Sancho has to go. For me, Jadon Sancho has to go. Cristiano Ronaldo has to go. That moment in the 37th minute that we saw where Cristiano Ronaldo steps over a teammate who is being looked at by the physio staff and is he wants his Lucozade. So he's going to step over his teammate to get the Lucozade bottle, to get his hydration. That to me was part and parcel. That to me is the look right there that says for me, that's it. Got to go. We're done. And why? Why would you want to go to Manchester United? That to me right now, yeah, I understand the notion of, like, yeah, I can be a part of helping fix it, but would you be a part of regular playing time? And with Manchester United right now, bottom of the table in the Premier League, with everything that is wrong, why would you want to go? That to me is the larger part here. You know, if you want to go to Juve, Atleti, or Newcastle, that to me would make more sense. That to me makes boatloads more sense than going to Manchester United. I understand the idea of wearing the Manchester United jersey and the crest and all these kinds of things and the fans at Old Trafford. But there are teams that are less of a mess right now than Manchester United. If I were Christian Pulisic, if I were his advisors, if I were in, you know, if I were on his speed dial, I would say, dude, you can go to a lot better places than Manchester United right now. I get you want to go there and be a part of the rebuild in the future, but go somewhere where you are going to get regular playing time, regular playing time. You are going to be part of this squad for the United States heading to Qatar. You need regular playing time, and it needs to be beneficial for you, that particular playing time. I'm with you, Sam. I don't know who would want to go to Manchester United right now, but at the same time, I understand the notion of, you know, wanting to be someplace where you can get regular playing time and be at the top of your game come the World Cup. And we talked about this with the goalkeeping. Matt Turner's at Arsenal right now. Christian Pulisic is barely getting more playing time than Matt Turner when it comes to being between the sticks for Arsenal. Why do you think Zach Steffen went to Middlesbrough? Frankly, I think that Sean Johnson right now is your number one, but that's just me. But go someplace where you can play and benefit yourself. Christian Pulisic going to Manchester United is not going to be able to do that. And Sam, I know you follow up. Sam's a lifelong United supporter, but he doesn't want Christian anywhere near this team. The club needs to be burned to the ground and rebuilt by people that know what they're doing, not just in it for the money. And so, Sam, yeah, I'm, and I know that the main problem with Manchester United will continue to be the fact that the Glazers are at the top. You can change all the pieces. You can finally get rid of Ed Woodward. And we know what Ed Woodward did or didn't do for Manchester United. But the biggest thing for them, they got to start over. And I fear for Manchester United fans that Erik ten Hag won't be given the time to create what he was brought in to create. That, to me, is the larger issue here with that. Sadly, I don't think that Erik ten Hag will be able to be given the time to do what he wants to do to make sure that Manchester United can go forward, because right now it's a mess. Mess. M-E-S-S mess. I don't think that that's up for any kind of particular debate or dispute, but the, and like I said, and I'll recommend once again, yesterday, Swiss Ramble on Twitter had this great, great thread about the spending habits and what Manchester United has done since the Glazers have walked in the door. That's, if you missed that yesterday, go back and keep an eye on that. But yeah, I fear right now that Manchester United will be a lot of different things and none of them good for the short term when it comes to that. But yeah, Christian Pulisic needs to go someplace else other than Manchester United. And Newcastle, Juve, Atletico Madrid are interested. What do you think? If those three are out there, and I'm going to pull Manchester United off to the side, and I think that, Sam, you would agree with me here. Let's pull Manchester United off to the side. Where should Christian Pulisic go of those three? We'll put that out there as like subset B of question two from the morning kickoff. Where should Christian Pulisic go where it would benefit him? I want you guys in on this. Where do you think it would benefit him the most of those three, and why? We got plenty of characters and plenty of space. Just let me know what you guys are thinking, where the future of Christian Pulisic is laid out here this morning. So like I said, we're going to go back and forth on a bunch of different things. I'm going to go through the timeline, and thanks to those of you who are hopping on Twitter as well. We'll duck into that. But much of these days, it's literally, since I'm a very linear person, and you guys know this by now, I'm probably just going to sit there and we'll go through everything. And if I skip a topic and circle back to it, that's just how it'll lay out. But that's where we are with the topics. But yes, Sam, I'm with you. Christian Pulisic needs nothing to do with anything with Manchester United. Needs to go someplace else. Kefsey doesn't usually make the tailgate in the midweek. This goes back to question A this morning with a midweek match tonight at Mercedes-Benz. 7:38 kick, pregame on 92.9. The game with Mike and Jason is at 7 o'clock. And then kickoff a little after 7:30, 7:38, and then postgame for a full hour after. But Kefsey doesn't make the tailgate in the midweek, understand. DM Tim, tailgate midweek is on the walk to MARTA. Might stop for a margarita on the way. Why don't you tailgate in Australia, Bam? That's a question. That's a question for you. Why don't you tailgate? Do you not tailgate? And by the way, Bam, I'm not necessarily a behind the scenes fan of Aussie Rules football, but actually we'll stay up late Friday and Saturday and watch Aussie Rules football. I know that they're getting close to the end of the regular season and the playoffs. I'm an AFL guy, and that goes back to the days of ESPN. Sorry, sidebar. Why don't you tailgate? Why isn't there any tailgating? Let me know about that. That's an interesting thing. Katie Weaver, good morning. Brief live show pop in. Good to see you, Katie. Sam on the kit for the men's national team. If it ain't the Waldo kit, I don't want it. Alex Bassine doing his best Jim Nance impression, going hello friends. Soccer for Good OG thinks the kits are boring. Yeah, and Ricky, it's going to be a topic, trust me. Okay, so Bam says a lot of the stadiums are close to pubs, so we go to the pub and then walk to the game. Okay, all right, so I was just thinking that, you know, and I know that I have it locked into my brain that it's like, okay, everybody goes to the stadium, you do your thing, you walk in, but if pubs are close by, then you do your activities at the pub, and then you walk in and do it that way, so I understand. Okay. want to see a nice kit, the 2021 Melbourne away kit. So, all right. So you've intrigued me, Bam. So here we go. Melbourne 2021 away kit. All right. So now let's see if I can do this without disrupting the show. And Puma Melbourne City 2021. I like the wine colored one, the wine colored with the black. I do like that, and it's very cool stuff. So the sublimated Puma cat in the middle, the sky blue. You can never really go wrong with sky blue. The 2021 home shirt, the away shirt. I really do like the away. That's been, like I said, I'm more of a non traditionalist when it comes to that kind of stuff, but I do like the away. Very, very cool. Let's see. Do you think Waza will succeed in coaching in MLS? That, you know, but once again, I think the first part has to do with, is he given the time, you know? And when it comes to Sam, when it comes to Wayne Rooney, how much patience is the front office going to give him? And, you know, it's the same thing that we're talking about with Eric Ten Hag this morning. You know, is this going to be a situation where DC United gives Wayne Rooney the runway to create, you know, and he's brought in Ravel Morrison because he thought that Ravel Morrison would help. Christian Benteke looks like he may not have his paperwork completed until the Atlanta match. That's what I think Stephen Goff had this morning, where Benteke may not be, you know, integrated as quickly as possible. I think that when you're looking at Wayne Rooney, I think that what you're looking at this season is you're looking for some signs of life. And Wayne Rooney right now is papering over the cracks in the wall with guys like Ravel Morrison and Christian Benteke, wanting to bring in folks that he wants to bring in to try to help the situation now. I think what's key will be the offseason and how you want to try to address the offseason and bringing folks in and what's it going to look like and that kind of thing. Combine that with the amount of patience that he should be given. If DC is serious, if DC is serious about turning things around from Hernan Lozada, you've got to give the man time. Familiar topic this morning. You've got to give him time. And then as you give him time, you're hoping that things will go the way that you want when it comes to continuity. But the biggest thing, Sam, is you've got to give him time. And I don't know what the patience level of the front of the ownership and the front offices in DC. You need to be patient considering how things were. And I mean, we can even go back and I'll give you an example with Loud United, the second team that plays in USL Championship. Hernan Lozada brought in veterans and it was an interesting mix. He wanted to bring in experienced folks like Sammy Gadiri. And he also had the academy guys that were there that were part of the build as well. So Lozada is fired, and then you have everybody who is there, and now you've got a new coach in Chad Ashton, and now you have an even newer coach in Wayne Rooney, and it's like, well, what do you want to do? You've got these veterans here. You had this academy. You wanted to promote the academy. Lozada brought in veterans, and it was chaotic. So what do you do? What's your philosophy? You know, and the thing is that if your philosophy is X, then you have to be patient enough to figure out how you want to get in that direction. And so, I mean, this is something that you have to look at top down with DC United. It's not just the first team. It's the second team as well in Loudoun. And by the way, Atlanta United 2 playing at Loudoun United this weekend. And you can catch that on ESPN Plus at Segra on Saturday night on the weekend. But the biggest thing is time. And the way that we're structured these days as businesses and as people, I think sometimes we don't, you know, we want that. We want the now. We want it fixed now. We want it, you know, we want the microwave meal instead of preparing something because it's ready, it's available, and it can be done quickly. But you can't turn things around quickly as much as you would want to throw something into the microwave and try to create lunch. You know, it's not that easy, but some folks are driven by their impatience to correct. And I think that that's something that we have to look at here. It's like, you've got to give folks time and you know, it could be, you know, philosophy, could be injuries, could be any of all of these things. And if you want to turn things around, you've got to give folks the space and the time to figure it out. And that, to me, is what the difference will be at DC with Wayne Rooney. And I also think that him coming over here has had just as much to do with his frustration with the situation at Darby County than anything else. So, you know, don't get me started on Darby County. But, you know, Wayne Rooney, for me, was coach of the year in the EFL with everything that he did last season. He was coach of the year. And all of the flack that he and his reps got for helping to pay the bills. I mean, who else was going to do it to try to keep the team afloat? I think eventually he wants to go back in a more stable situation. So you want to try to succeed here to continue to build your dossier and all those kinds of things. But for me, you look at it and it's, you got to give them time. But I don't know if DC United has that kind of patience, much like our friends at Manchester United that we've been talking about here early on the show. Once again, Dylan Butler joining us top of the hour. And that will be the show today. We'll go through all of your thoughts and all your questions, getting ready for your match day. What are you looking forward to for the match tonight? We've got that stuff to talk about. We've got midweek whip around. Dylan Butler coming up at the top of the hour. So, you know, you look, Bam talking about LAFC. LAFC's, that was their first 1-0 home win since round 1 of 2020, played Miami at home, and then the first 1-0 win since July 21st, 2021, when you beat RSL away. Yeah, and I legitimately, and I definitely don't think I'm the only person, thought that it was going to be blowout city. I really did, Bam. I really thought it was going to be blowout city. And it was just, I don't know what to... I want your thoughts on it. Were you taking DC, taking DC a little for granted, considering that they are not as good as you? And you were sitting Bale and Chiellini, obviously, for load management. Very San Antonio Spursy, by the way. Excuse me for a second. But yeah, I mean, seriously, what did you think about the game last night? You got the goal after DC went down to 10 and worked it forward. So, you know, let me know what you thought about LAFC, Bam, about last night. Sam, you don't believe in Ten Hag. So let me see if I can do something fancy here. There we go. I don't believe in Ten Hag. I think he's FDB 2.0. Wanted Conte or Tuchel because you obviously see their passion for the game. Christian should go to Newcastle because they have a plan, they have the money, and I think they're going to be successful in the future. Newcastle, you know, they do. But remember, Eddie Howe didn't get the keys to the car completely. They only gave him, I think, 80 or 90 million in the transfer market last time around. I say only. It wasn't just basically, okay, get, you know, here's the open wallet, go get it. You know, here's the credit card, here's the platinum, and go. Wasn't quite that simple. So I think that I want to know what the price point would be for Christian Pulisic first and foremost, even if it's a loan. That's the other part. So really, when you're looking at Christian and Newcastle, what's Newcastle's budget? You know, are they still in that window of dollars that they were giving the platinum card to Eddie Howe for? But yeah, so. Sam wants Newcastle. So what about Juve and Atletico Madrid? We'll keep an eye on that one as well. Kefsey gets a drink by the Falcon, gets in the seat. Yeah, Shelley and Norwich won yesterday. And, you know, you look at Norwich, and right now I still think, let me look at the standings really quickly in the championship and just kind of, I know it's early, but the biggest thing is that you want to get out of the blocks quickly. You want to get out of the blocks quickly, and that's big. Norwich and actually in Carroll Road, you've got a home game in 2 days with the Millwall, and you're a favorite, so you should be able to take care of business there as well. Norwich, 16th, you won your first after a shaky start, so you got to climb the table in a hurry after playing 4 matches, and you're going to be playing your 5th on the weekend. So, yeah, you got some work to do if you're going to try and get your way back into those playoff positions. Remember, all you need to do is get into 6th, and then you can do what you need to do from that moment forward. But biggest thing is take care of business early, because it always seems in the lower divisions that you've got to get your sprint done and you've got to make sure. The Melbourne victory. Okay, so bam, let me go back. All right, let me go back. Melbourne, let me go to the Melbourne victory kit. Hang on. So Melbourne victory. So this is what happens when somebody sends you down a rabbit hole. Let me see the Melbourne victory kit. See, now that I'm completely fascinated by it. Okay, classy. All right, so it's regarded as, ooh, okay, yeah. I do like that. That is very good. So, yes, well done. So, yes, Melbourne victory. Thumbs up for me, Bam. Good stuff. All right. So, let's see. Yeah, top map of Melbourne lightly through it. Very, very cool. Let's see what other folks are looking for. Kefsi, looking forward to bringing some new people to the game tonight. Very, very cool. Glad you want to do that, because that's part of the experience too. And you also get the opportunity to do that in the midweek that you wouldn't have the chance to do during weekends because of the demand on the weekend and those kinds of things. And so, no, it makes a lot of sense to bring new folks in. And as a matter of fact, hang on. Friend of mine is bringing someone for the first time as well, and so they were looking for a scouting report. So all right, that's another question for you. For someone who's going for the first time, what would you tell those first time people to expect, and especially if they really don't know a whole lot about the game itself, what would you tell those first timers? How would you prepare them for this visit on a midweek? What would you do to prepare them for an Atlanta United match in the midweek, especially for a first timer? What would you tell them? What would you say? So that's my third question this morning as we continue to roll through here. What would you tell a first timer for going to an Atlanta United match? How would you prepare them for this experience? So, and then what I'll do is I'll relay that information over to my friend who's going for the first time tonight. So that'll be another part of this discussion today. Michael Head, not a fan of Manchester United, but it may be good for him. Parzival, did we ever find out why one of our staff received a yellow? No, did not. But I imagine might come out from Major League Soccer at some point, unless they just don't want to tell us, which wouldn't be the first time. So we'll see what it looks like there. But you know, sometimes if a fourth official sends word to the center ref that a magic word was used or something like that, then that's why it may happen. Bam says Atlanta Red Bulls is a 9:30 a.m. Aussie Eastern Standard Time kick, and the TV in Australia has decided to show Toronto and and the TV in Australia has decided Toronto versus New England deserves to be shown instead. Okay, that's an error. But that's, like I said, that's just me talking personally. And that reminds me, we need to get into the midweek whip around here in a second. Emilio, assuming a draw tonight, the official end will be a come from behind draw against DC in a few weeks. But, you know, I mean, yes, tonight is must win. The bottom line, must win, must win, must win. Tonight, must win. You got to take care of business at home. There is no other substitute for those kinds of things. You're a favorite going into tonight if you believe in the juice box looks and all these kinds of things. But once again, must win. Take care of your points tonight. Take care of your stuff tonight. Then that way you can go to Columbus and try to tackle a Columbus side that's above you in the standings too. Jason Nix. For the first timer, sign the spike, meet the team during the walk-in outside, hit the team store before the match. Yes, because definitely, yeah, if you don't hit the team store before the match, what you might be looking for might be gone. So definitely. Michael Head, tell them too bad they missed 17 and 18, of course. Sharif, be open to the fan atmosphere and take it in. Even try chanting and you might find it fun. I like that. So we'll keep an eye on that. So yeah, keep these ideas coming. For all of the ideas for the first timers, because for those of you who might be bringing first timers, for those of you who know that are going to be bringing first timers in, all this shared information is very, very cool. So thanks to everybody who has been given the info, and hopefully will continue to do so. All right. So I believe with 20 minutes to go here in the first hour of the show, I believe it's time for the midweek whip around, patent pending, trademark coming. And so what we'll do is we will go over the other four matches and we'll just continue talking about Atlanta United and Red Bulls all the way through the remainder of the show. Toronto FC and New England Revolution. That one's also at 7:30. Toronto is a minus 112. And once again, the numbers that we use are not the ones that you see at MLSsoccer.com. We use Odds Portal, and it is a composite of 16 different juice box purveyors. And they come up with the information, and you end up with this composite of math and all those kinds of things. So, yes, math is involved. So Toronto's a minus 112. New England is a plus 262, and your draw is a plus 298. So, of course, it is now, you know, at this particular time of the segment where we sit there and we go, fun facts, 7:38 kick at BMO. Toronto and New England played a scoreless draw in Foxborough back on July 30. Toronto has recorded one victory over the Revs each of the last six seasons, beginning in 2016. Toronto extended their unbeaten run to four games, winning three of them, with a 3-1 win over the Timbers on Saturday. The Reds have collected 10 points in those four matches after totaling just 8 points in their previous 14. 10 of those were losses. New England has won consecutive matches for the first time this season after a 1-0 win over DC back on Saturday. The Reds have kept four straight clean sheets for the third time in club history and the first since May through June of 2013. New England's never kept a clean sheet in five straight MLS matches. So, I will put this out to the floor. What do you guys think about the other matches tonight as well? I'm just asking a lot of questions today, and I think that's probably pretty much how I'm going to do it. I'm looking at Toronto here. So I've got to go with Toronto at home, considering what we've seen from them. When you've gotten the guy between the sticks like you've got for New England, who's really doing well the last month, I think it took a while to get acclimated to Major League Soccer. I think that I got to go with Toronto here. I'm guessing the over. And so now that I've said that, let me duck back in and look at the totals. And your over under at 2.5 is a minus 182. 3.5 is a plus 137. 4.5 is a plus 305. I don't think it'll get to 4.5. I would go probably that 3.5 at plus 137 to look at Toronto and New England, but I'm leaning toward Toronto in that one. 8 o'clock, NYC is going up against Charlotte, and NYC is a minus 213, no real surprise. Draws a plus 361. Charlotte is a plus 520, and so we'll be keeping an eye on that one. This one is at Red Bull Arena, because I believe there's a baseball team that is kind of busy at Yankee Stadium right now. 8:08 kick at Red Bull. Fun facts, even though we kind of know where I think all of us are thinking with this one. NYC will meet Charlotte for the first time. Since 2005, expansion sides have defeated reigning champs four times in 24 meetings, drawing seven and losing 13. Those four, Toronto versus Houston in 2007, Columbus and Seattle in 2009, Orlando and the Galaxy in 2015, LAFC and Toronto in 2018. NYC's lost consecutive matches, losing 3-2 at both Columbus and Miami after losing just one of its previous 17. 11 of those were wins, 5 were draws. NYC has not lost 3 straight regular season matches since losing their first 4 games of the 2020 season. Charlotte FC have suffered their heaviest defeat of their expansion season, Saturday losing 5-0 at LAFC, the 5th expansion side to lose by a 5-plus goal margin, joining Orlando City in 2015, Minnesota United 2017, LAFC 2018, and FC Cincinnati in 2019. And yes, Jason Nix, as always, one of the guidelines that we always have here, never bet on MLS. Yes, we will thank you later. Obviously, a lot of folks leaning toward the home side in this one, even though they're not playing at their home arena right now. NYC at a minus, big minus number. So obviously, everybody's leaning toward NYC in that one. No real surprise on the board. 9 o'clock Eastern, FC Dallas and Philadelphia Union. Intriguing. We'll see what everybody thinks on this one. FC Dallas is a plus 125. Your draw is a plus 258. Philadelphia Union is a plus 198. So because, this one is within the realm of reason, we're going to go fun facts here. 9:08 kick at Toyota Stadium. The Union have taken just 1 point in 7 MLS trips to Dallas, 6 of them losses, including losing each of their last 4. Philadelphia's 0.14 points per match, 1.7, so it's 0.143. Lowest at any team that it has visited at least once. FC Dallas recorded a 4-1 win over San Jose on Saturday, scoring three of their four goals before halftime. Dallas has scored three first-half goals in three games this season versus the Galaxy in May versus Portland in March. First time they've had three-goal first halves in a single MLS season. And also need to know that Philadelphia have won six of their last seven. The only other one was a loss following the 4-1 win over the Fire on Saturday. The 18 points in that time, the most that the Union have ever collected in a seven-match span in the club's MLS history. So, yeah, I'm leaning toward Philadelphia in this one. So, yes, we know that Dallas is better at home than they are on the road, but I've got to go with Philadelphia here as well. And full disclosure, my fantasy team at the back is loaded with Philadelphia guys. So maybe that's why I'm mid-table. But Philadelphia, plus 198, I'm leaning Philadelphia in this one. Once again, close to a plus 200 on the road. Philadelphia as the favorite, and they're leading the East. I got to go with Philly here. Last game MLS after dark is Vancouver hosting Colorado. Vancouver's at a plus 135. Your draw is a plus 257. And Colorado is a plus 184. So as we look at this particular match, we'll go fun facts on this one and find out what everybody thinks about Vancouver and Colorado. 10:08 kick at BC Place. Colorado's unbeaten in their last three matches against Vancouver, one win, two draws. The third time the Rapids have gone three straight without losing against the Whitecaps. It also happened in 2016. And in the 2012 and 2013 crossover, Colorado's never gone four straight matches against Vancouver without a loss. Vancouver suffered the 5-2 loss to the Galaxy Saturday, the fourth time in club history. They've allowed at least five goals in an MLS match. Three of those four games took place at LA teams, two of them at LAFC and one against the Galaxy. The Rapids have lost only one of their last seven MLS matches, winning three, drawing three, following the 1-1 draw with the Crew on Saturday. One of those wins was in Colorado Colorado's last away match, the 5-4 victory at Red Bulls August 2nd. That win ended a 10-match road winless streak for the Rapids to start the season. Three draws, seven losses. So, looking at that, I don't know if I have a great deal of confidence in Colorado winning. Vancouver traditionally tough at home, and I understand why they're the line is dropping even as we're discussing things. It was at plus 137 down to plus 135. I'm going to go a fancy draw here. I'm going to go crazy with the MLS After Dark draw. So that's what I'm looking at with plus 257. I think you'll have your bouts of crazy here. So I'll go with Vancouver, Colorado as a draw in that one. So that's your five matches. Obviously, with Atlanta United and Red Bulls, biggest thing is that you can't give up the early goal. And it's something that, you know, we've talked about a lot this season. But also, this Red Bulls team does not seem to be the Red Bulls team that, you know, that we're traditionally used to seeing. The one that is always going to be giving up less goals and things like that. Because, you know, we talked about it with the Colorado match. Red Bulls are susceptible to giving up a big number. And I think that with the firepower that Atlanta United has. Yes, I know that the Red Bulls, and now here's the Red Bulls' last five, where they've only won one in their last five. Here's what's happened. Red Bulls lost 1-0 to Orlando City. They drew goalless to DC United. That should be a concern offensively if you're a fan of Red Bulls, that you're not putting the ball in the back of the net against a team like DC. You lose 5-4 to Colorado. We talked about that one. You won 4-3 in the weird one in Austin. And I don't think it'll get that weird tonight at Mercedes-Benz. And then you lose 1-0 to New York City. So you've got a team in Red Bulls. You don't know which one you're going to be giving your fans on a weekly basis. So it's seeing Red Bulls like this, they can be had. But once again, you've got to stay on them. You've got to get the early goal. You can't give up an early goal. And I think that you can take care of business here. And once again, going through the standings in the East and how things are laid out, Atlanta United right now, 5 points separating five from 13. So that's 3, 6, 9 clubs separated by 5 points. Match in hand, you get full points tonight. You could be in 10th barring everything else that's going on. Once again, remember, Charlotte and Toronto are your other Eastern teams that are playing. So Charlotte has the tougher of the two. Toronto and Revs separated by 4 points. But Toronto at home looking probably to put up another crooked number on New England. But New England has shown with their new keeper that they've, you know, at least gotten things squared away between the sticks. Interesting intrigue in the East tonight. But if you're Atlanta United, you win, you're up to 32 points. You're continuing to inch your way up the standings. And then you're only a point out of the playoff race. Unless, New England does something and they end up getting a win, things like that. But you're within shouting distance. You're within another win of going north of the playoff bar. It's going to be like this for the remainder of the season. So look at it match by match. Don't look at the end because we're not at the end yet. So it's just, we got to get there. You just got to work your way forward. Focus on this one tonight. And, once again, remember, no giving up the early goals. Get the early goal. And I think with this firepower that you can do that. So that's the quick, Soccer for Good OG. Red Bulls is always a tricky match. Still hate them. They broke Tito. It is tricky, and just not knowing which version of Red Bulls you're going to get. Are you going to get the 5-4 version or the one that's clamped down, like we used to sing with Carlos Coronel and Nett? So that's the dime store analysis there. Once again, reminder, it's 7 o'clock pregame, 92.9 The Game with Mike and Jason. 7:38 kick for Red Bulls and Atlanta United. So before Dylan comes back in, let's see what else you guys have been saying. Then we'll go over some of the quick news in Europe before Dylan Butler comes on. Bam's first game would be don't worry about the pitch. Just keep an eye on the active support. Katie Weaver. And here's what Katie Weaver had to say. Having been to a Braves game last night, reminded how chill baseball is. Boring. Prepare first-timers that at a match, they will need to actually stay engaged. Plan to get food and beverage before the start so you don't miss anything. And so, yeah, they are going with experienced. They're going with season ticket holders, and they're going with 17. So they should be there with all of the activity there. So they should be steered in a good direction when it comes to those kinds of folks. Niall says Toronto gets it done. Bam, is it bad that the odds for New England is tempting? Let's see. So let me go back to New England here. So New England, right there on the edge of the playoff push, and the number for New England at a plus 262. I understand it. I ain't touching it. So Bam, much like Jason says, never bet on MLS. And yeah, tell it to your account, Bam. But yeah, that 262, I don't know if I would go Revs win because of what we've seen from Toronto FC at home with Insigne, Crisito, and Bernadeschi. So I'm leaning Toronto. Frankly, I'm leaning the over on whatever over number you can get. Like we talked about 3.5. I would go there. I would go with a total as opposed to a selection. But once again, take what I say, go the absolute opposite direction, and you'll probably end up making sure that you will, your wallet will thank me later. And obviously it'll thank Nix's thoughts will obviously thank you later there as well. So yeah, 90% of the pubs have betting machines in them and on our phones. Okay, yeah, apps have been pretty busy when it comes to those kinds of things. So it's interesting how that lays out, Bam. Let me get into other transfer news overseas before Dylan Butler comes on in about 5 minutes. Chelsea and Atleti are not convinced about Cristiano Ronaldo. Manchester United's looking at Moises Caicedo and possibly bringing him in from Brighton. Adrian Rabiot deal is increasingly unlikely. Rabiot's wage demands have not been able to be met after a broad agreement had been reached with Juve on a £15 million fee. Moises Caicedo was linked with a move to United, joining Brighton back in 21. Casemiro has also been discussed. So interesting names being tossed about for Manchester United. Everton has now rejected Chelsea's $45 million bid for Anthony Gordon. Tom Russo, I know that you're pleased about that, keeping Anthony Gordon for the time being. $40 to $45 million bid rejected. Everton's stance is that the player is not for sale. Tottenham also wanted to sign him on a package deal with Richarlison. Chelsea has spent £176.5 million on transfers so far. Wesley Fofana still feels that Leicester are pricing him out of a deal. It looks like it might be in the neighborhood of 80 is what we're now hearing from Leicester to get Fofana away from them. Speaking of Everton, Dele Alli's in talks with Besiktas after only 7 months at Goodison Park. Only one start, 13 appearances, and they also seem to be close to completing the transfer of Idrissa Gueye from PSG. Ben Brereton-Diaz is also on their short list, the Blackburn striker, widening his search for a forward is Frank Lampard. Blackburn have rejected a £10 million bid from Nice for Ben Brereton-Diaz. Armando Broja from Chelsea still remains Everton's first choice. Little progress in talks as they're moving on to other targets like Brighton's Neil Mopay. Coventry City's Victor Gyökeres are also of interest, according to Rob Dorsett and Alan Myers. Looks like West Ham has signed a PSG defender, Thilo Kehrer, for £10.1 million plus add-ons, four-year contract, two-year option, 25 years old. So Kehrer is now headed to West Ham. Sevilla were also interested in signing the 20-cap Germany international who had entered the final year of his PSG contract, but he preferred the move to West Ham. That is West Ham's sixth major summer signing, say that 10 times fast, after Scamacca, Aguerd, Areola, Flynn Downs, Maxwell Cornet. That deal takes the Hammer spending to £115.6 million. Joined PSG from Schalke 4 years ago, and he's made 128 appearances for the French champs, six domestic trophies. So David Moyes obviously high on Thilo Kehrer and what he brings to the table. Mentioned this briefly yesterday, Mateus Nunez. Wolves have agreed on a club record £42.2 million deal to sign the Sporting Lisbon midfielder. 38 plus 4.2, 38 million in signing, 4.2 in add-ons. Personal terms have yet to be finalized. Bruno Lage is looking to complete that deal so Nunez can be involved in Saturday's game with Spurs. Watford have rejected the bid of £17.5 million for João Pedro as they're chasing after Conor Gallagher. Eddie Howe looking to strengthen the midfield after Jonjo Shelvey's injury. So that's where we are with the transfers so far and all of those transfer news. Okay, so Bam wants to know about Elon Musk. Don't get caught up in it. Bam, here's what Bam said. And as I said, I'm learning the new toys, so here we go. So here's what Bam said. Will Elon pull out of the Man U bid like he did with Twitter? Frankly, I think that, you know, Twitter can be used at 280 characters to say whatever you want to say about anything. And so what Elon Musk decided to do was sit there and run his mouth and sit there and say, yeah, I'm buying Man U. But the only problem is that the Glazers have zero interest in making sure that they're selling. So Glazers aren't selling. They're going to hang on to it. And it's going to be one of those elements where I don't know if there's, well, there's obviously everybody's got a price. Just ask Ted DiBiase. But you look at Manchester United, I think it's too good for the Glazers right now, too good for their portfolio. I think Elon Musk is just blowing smoke. That's like me saying I would want to buy Manchester United. Yeah, that's great. But you want to know what? Here is the extent of what I've been able to accomplish, and I have to go to the store. See that's right there. That's what you're looking at. You're playing Powerball with stuff like that. So I think Elon Musk just wanted to use 280 characters or less than 280 characters and sit there and go, okay, here's what I want to do. Yeah. I'd like to go down to the corner and get more Mountain Dew. That's not going to, you know, I can put that out on Twitter too. And you'll have stuff like that happen. But no, I think Bam, frankly, I think that Elon Musk is just running his Twitter fingers just so he can say things. That's the bottom line. I think that's all that you're looking at for Elon Musk. He just wanted to say something on Twitter. So he said something to say something on Twitter. I wouldn't really hold any kind of credence to it because of just what, you know, Twitter can be sometimes. So nah, I would put zero thought, zero interest and any depth of field when it comes to Elon Musk and what you're looking at from him and Manchester United. So no, not really looking at him as the new man in charge at Manchester United. So no, not happening. No. One other thing to note before Dylan Butler hops in. Mike Dean. Now, Mike Dean has been given the weekend off of VAR duties after the pulling of the hair of Mark Cucurella that wasn't called, Chelsea's draw with Spurs. He retired from on-field reffing at the end of last season, but he's been remaining involved with the Premier League as a VAR official. And he was in charge of technology for it. And he should have intervened. Yeah, he should have. He legitimately should have intervened on the hair pull by Romero on Cucurella. How? That's the biggest thing for me. How was Christian Romero's hair pull on Mark Cucurella? How was that not into anything? I mean, literally, how do you not? I mean, then that literally, I feel like Ross on Friends, where you're like, how do you not see that? How do you not make that call because of the trickle down effect that goes from that particular event? It turns into a free kick, not a subsequent corner, which lend itself to the Spurs goal. How do you not see that? How? I legitimately. And so Mike Dean has been given the weekend off when it comes to VAR. Frankly, he should. And it's good to see this kind of transparency from either PGMOL or from the Premier League in and of itself, when something that was this egregious was not put into the queue. And I can't get it out of my head. Cause I mean, literally, do you come up with a Troy Polamalu rule now when it comes to hair pull and Mark Cucurella? How do you not sit there and say that was a foul? That was, it was absolute, you know, violent conduct. At least for me, it was violent conduct. I'm as you can tell, I'm incredulous about the whole thing. But how do you not have this kind of a thing happen? But Mike Dean, basically the end of the story is that Mike Dean is not in charge of VAR for the next round of Premier League fixtures. Should have absolutely done something. And did not do anything. And so definitely did not do what was best for the game in that instance. But yeah, all of the trickle down effects. Should have been a foul, should have been a card, could have been a yellow, could have been a red. I thought it was violent conduct. But how do you not make that call? Because then you get the second corner, then you get the goal and all of these things, and then you get the dust up and all that. But yeah, how do you not do that? So Mike Dean has been given the weekend off when it comes to VAR. So let's see. Also on the Twitters, it is Bam. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that nothing online is not true. And speaking of refs, Atlanta has Ted Uncle as ref and Chris Penso as VAR. So you know what that means. Now that we've passed the top of the hour, it is Wednesdays at 10, which means it's Wednesdays with Dylan Butler.
Wow.
I know. I'm learning the technology, man. This is truly caddies at Bushwood. This is really caddies at Bushwood material here. So first off, thanks for coming on a Wednesday. Did you, sir, stay up late last night for MLS After Dark?
I did, and it had so many potential elements for the true MLS After Dark experience. Perhaps most notably, David Ochoa in net for DC United, right? So anything seems like it could happen with Ochoa. in net, but it was rather drab. So it was disappointing for the after dark experience, right? LAFC scoreless in the first half again. This time they don't go and score five, but they get the goal they need. DC tries to play like a lower division English team would, I suppose, right? In the midweek and just foul and make it chaotic. They get Birnbaum sent off. You know, no Bale, no Chiellini for load management. But LAFC get the 3 points they need, and they continue this record setting pace for the Shield.
All right, so two things there that you brought up. What do you think about the openness, honesty, whatever word you want to use? The fact that you laid it out and LAFC is like, nope, load management. This was very San Antonio Spurs of them to just sit there and say, you know, no, load management, Bale, Chiellini, nah. And then it ended up with, I think, like soft tissue injury, which kept them from this match. But what did you think about the transparency of saying load management? I think that's the first time I've seen anything like that.
I agree, and I like it. You know, it brings about another potential debate where you mentioned San Antonio, right? And the whole, you know, is it a buyer beware for ticket holders? I mean, that's a whole different animal, but yeah, no, I like the transparency. It's not questionable lower body or, you know, undisclosed or right. They're out there. They're saying like, listen, you know, there's a lot of matches going on. It's the heat of summer. We need these guys down the stretch. So, you know, we rest them for this match and you'll likely see them on the weekend. So
when you look at LAFC, and I think to your point, maybe they should just play the second 45. So they should just go ahead and skip to the 46 minute the way things have been going. But yeah, it was weird that until you go a man down, it's just, you know, DC was just going to kind of slog their way through it. Understandably so. I mean, you were on the north end of plus 1,000 in the juice boxes. And everybody was sitting there saying, okay, this is lambs to the slaughter, man. And so you're just going to try to manage your way through it. And they didn't break through, meaning LAFC, until they were a man up.
Yeah. And, you know, too, within that, there was that one moment where Crepeau's got to make a tremendous save. So even there, with all the things that you mentioned, DC very nearly could have been up 1-0 at the break. But having seen these last two LAFC matches closely, the 5-0 and this 1-0 against Charlotte and DC, it feels very kind of professional from them, right? Like there's not a worry about not finishing your chances in the first half. There's not really a big worry about needing to make, you know, push a Bale maybe when you don't have to, right? Like they're able to rest these guys. They're able to go to their bench and still get goals. Now, that said, the other side of that coin is, are you relying on this, if you want to call it a formula, too much, right? Like, at what point could this become a problem where you're not firing on all cylinders from the very beginning and you just sort of expect to kick it in the gear in the second half and roll teams over? I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but right. This trend these last few games could come back to haunt them at some point.
Who else is handling things professionally right now, just trying to continue where they are and not screw things up as we're getting close to the end of the regular season? Who's doing that well right now?
Yeah, you gotta say Philly, right? On the other side of it in the Eastern Conference, where they were. At the start of the year, we knew that they were a very good defensive team. Perhaps similar, where they weren't maybe finishing chances or getting enough chances in and around the 18, and they found that right through multiple sources, which I think makes them even more dangerous. Right, it's not a Joseph in the heyday, I guess you want to call it, of Atlanta. Juggernauts where it's one guy, right? It's not. It's multiple different guys who could score. It's the younger guys. It's the veteran guys. So they seem to just be handling it really well too. Like, they're playing some of their best soccer that you've ever seen out of Philly. You wonder though, is there another gear? Are they hitting their stride too early? Right. It's the playoffs are such a tricky thing because you have to hit it at like, it's almost like Back to the Future, right? Like, you have to get to that certain miles per hour, right? To if you hit it too fast, if you peak too early, you know, you could flame out like, I don't know, Revs last year, perhaps.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So then it's Tim Curtin, Doc Brown. Is that what you're saying here?
Perhaps, maybe. Or is Ernst
true?
Doc Brown.
No.
But yeah, no. And it, if you're on a, I don't know, 4-game losing streak going in, and you don't have momentum, that also hurts you on the other side. But especially with it, again, it's being a one and done situation for the postseason, right? We don't have those two legs, so that makes it even trickier these days.
When it comes to the teams that are struggling, that didn't quite get the 1.21 gigawatts and the timing squared away, Seattle to me, I know we're all kind of late waiting for Zombie Sounders to sit there and it's like, yeah, okay, you're coming. We're waiting. You're coming. We know you're coming. What is going on in Seattle right now?
That is the $1 million of GAM question that you ask, because I don't know. Like, we talk about law and order, right? Like, you can go to your board and you could put up different things that you think it could be. You know, could it be tired legs from winning Champions League? But that was so many months ago, right? Is it the injuries that have finally caught up with them? But they had more injuries a year ago to bigger players. It can't just be Jao Paulo being out injured, even though he's an integral part of their midfield. So I don't know. Like, or again, right? Like, we talked about sort of relying on a formula. Like, is the fact that we're all like, they'll figure it out, is that easy? Is that maybe even a little bit of what's happening in their dressing room, right? Like, are they even thinking that, like, well, we'll get there. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to do that, the extra 10% that's necessary. Are they maybe relying on what they've done in the past? Again, this is all conjecture, but it's crazy because, again, I'm now – the closer we get to the postseason, the less, like, my convinced Seattle will make the postseason, it is maybe down to like 60%. Like, I'm not, I was probably 75% before the Salt Lake match, right? Like, I don't know. And it's certainly trending the other way.
All right. So one of our viewers, Sam Williamson, says they put all their energy in CCL, so I give them a pass. They've also been the best team in the last decade in Major League Soccer. What do you think?
He's right, certainly, about the best team in the decade. They did put all their eggs into the CCL basket, but does that give them a pass for the whole year?
Right.
Like, that was back in, what was that, March?
Sounds good.
Right, was it? Something like that?
Yeah.
The CCL final?
Yeah.
And we're now into mid to late August, right? So when does that not become a problem, right? Like, they've had ample opportunities, even if you give them April and May to deal with TCL, you still have 3 months or so of a buildup to be able to get points, right? And, you know, look, you look at they drop points in Atlanta, fine, whatever, right? You're on the road. Gutman scores a golazo. But, you know, to Sam's point, you know what, too? I mean, it's also not the youngest team.
Yes.
So the combination maybe of CCL of injuries, maybe another team could deal with it better. Say, I don't know, a Philly, right? Because you've got those young players who come in and just fill those spots. They do have some decent younger players, right? Danny Laveth comes to mind, but
and you lost Vargas to injury too.
Yeah, that was huge too. That was the other one I didn't mention before. That along with Jao Paulo, and you had a good stretch without Raul Ruiz Diaz as well. So I agree about CCL. I just wonder, does that give them a pass for the whole year then?
I think it gives them a temporary pass. I think it gives them a hall pass to make a pit stop, but I don't think it gives them a pass to go ahead and skip school for the rest of the day.
Yeah, right.
Follow-up from Sam, he says, I just think their mentality was all about winning CCL in the regular season. I think they just kind of put it on the back burner and left it there to see what happens.
They did put all their eggs into that basket, but it's a club, and especially with so many of their nucleus, where you know they know about winning, they know about deep playoff runs, about winning MLS Cup. So like, I don't think it was a one or the other for them. I don't think that was ever the case. It was, yes, we are going after CCL and we're going after it in a big way, where they make all their big moves in the winter transfer window, right? They get Rusnak, with the biggest free agent signing in the league's history.
Mm-hmm.
They make sure Garth Lagerwey says, I'm doing all our business in the winter because we want to chase CCL and we're going after it hard, and they win it. But again, it's a veteran team that's played in so many big games, MLS Cup, other CCL, a lot of their national team, a lot of these guys are national team guys, right? So I don't think it's necessarily a case of CCL or nothing, right? Like, that's not the Seattle way.
All right. So since you mentioned national team, I'm going to go sideways here for a second.
Okay.
Christian Pulisic, the rumors overseas, alleged interest for Pulisic and his camp.
There it is. Newcastle. Come on, baby.
Yeah.
Bring him the Tyneside.
So that's the rub here. He wants to go to Manchester United, Newcastle, Juve, Atletico were the three that were also mentioned. I fear that Manchester United, whoever's telling him Manchester United, that's a bad idea, Jerry.
Yep. No, I agree. And yeah, I joke about Newcastle. That's my club.
Yeah.
That's my fandom. But the whole point of a loan move this year for anybody, or any move for anybody that's involved in the World Cup, is to get minutes, right? You need to be playing ahead of the World Cup. He's not playing in at Chelsea, right? So he's got to get minutes. I think he'll get minutes at many other places. I don't think he's necessarily going to get the guaranteed minutes at Manchester United.
So then where would you send him other than Tyneside? Where would you legitimately send him? Because, I mean, we've seen this in net with Matt Turner at Arsenal, who's probably going to be your cup keeper, Matt Turner. That's why Zach Steffen went to Borough. And frankly, I would sit there and say that Sean Johnson's my number one when it comes to the men's national team, because he's getting regular minutes and because he is standing on his head for NYC. Where do you go if you're Christian Pulisic? You know, seriously, if you were the master of all transfers, put on your thinking cap or get out the Castle whiteboard. And look at it like Castle, you know, put your case together. Where would you send Christian Pulisic if you're looking at the Castle whiteboard inside the precinct?
So I will actually put my Newcastle fandom to the side.
Okay.
And I do think it's actually Newcastle, right? Because he's familiar with the Premier League, right? He's played in the Premier League. So you're not going to have a big transition period there. Obviously, you know, new club, new players. But I think it's a team obviously that is in need of that type of player. So he'll get his minutes. I think if you go to Juve or elsewhere, it's everything is new. I think there's going to be at least a month or two of a transition, and you don't have that lead up, right, to the World Cup. If you give him, again, we're mid-August, right?
Right.
If you give him 2 months to get acclimated to Juve, for example, you know, now you're in mid-October, right, with the World Cup a month away.
Yeah.
So I think the easiest move for him and his comfortability, if I could.
Comfortability, yeah.
There you go. is to stay in the Premier League. And then you go to point B of that to play regular minutes. So now you take Manchester United out of that equation. And I think it's, again, I think it's Newcastle.
Okay. All right. So steering the car back on the road for Major League Soccer. Going back to
the. And who would want to play for Newcastle? St. James Park, man, like 55,000. Geordie's going crazy. It's a great. I've been there. It's a great game day experience. It's a great night before, the night after you win. Anyway.
And well, and hey, and Darren Eales, you know, Darren Eales is now part of the process. So
yeah, Miggy. You get Miggy with it as well, right?
So. Yes. Yeah. So what you're saying is that they need to get Miggy with it. I get it. I see where you're going. all right. So back to MLS here as I bring the car screaming back onto the road.
Yes.
But that's really no surprise. Who else from the weekend that was is the thumbs up and thumbs down for you as we go into a double match week in some regards? Who else was thumbs up, thumbs down for you from last weekend?
That's a great question, because I've sort of, it's weird, right, with our Wednesdays where I'm already kind of forward thinking, so I got to go back. So thumbs up right off the bat, you got to say Miami, right, where it's kind of crazy. Well, I'll do two thumbs up, and they're both similar. And no surprise, they've both made the biggest jump in the MLS power rankings. But Miami and LA, right? So massive win for Miami, coming from behind, albeit a little bit gifted against NYCFC. But, you know, now playoffs, it's not that sound bite, like playoff, you know, it's like you could actually see it with Miami, which you've never really, other than of course the weird, you know, pandemic year and the extra teams and you play, but you haven't really been able to see that. And I think so much of that has to go to Chris Henderson. Like if there is no better candidate, I think, for executive of the year, even if they've just fall short.
Yeah.
To completely turn around a team, and I've said it on here before, with all the constrictions that MLS has, to be able to turn your roster around, to be able to bring guys in, even look at the move for Pozuelo, right? Like, amazing, right? A tremendous move. You've got Higuain now buying in. Now he's back in the lineup after sitting out for Campana, and he's hungry to show, right? So, I think their win over NYCFC was big, and then the Galaxy. We have been hot and cold about the Galaxy, man. They have been so hard to figure out, almost like, or worse, I'd say, than Orlando out in the West, just because of their star power. Right? We can't figure out Orlando either, but the Galaxy, huge, massive win for them, and another team too. I like what Vanny has been doing. You know, you recognize that there's issues. Now, a lot of folks will say your issues were on the wings and that hasn't been addressed because you still have got Costa and Cabral there, but
exactly.
you get a player in and Ricky Pooch, who obviously, right, everyone knows about his quality, who, by the way, just got his visa, so he would theoretically be available for selection for their game against Seattle, and what a game that, you know, should be when you look at games to watch for this upcoming week. But you know, then they make some subtle, seemingly subtle moves in the midfield as well, where you now have guys in certain positions that will complement your attacking group. And you know, look, I'm saying all this, and they could lose 5-0 to Seattle, and I don't know if you'd even be surprised by that, right? So I'm not saying they have it all figured out, but on the weekend, I think those are two of the biggest thumbs up, I guess you would say, right? Thumbs down on the other side. You've got to go to Nashville, right?
Yes. Like, yes.
How do you, like, you would think, and I've said it again, and it's mind-boggling to me, but Nissan Stadium, Nashville turned that into a fortress, right? They were the toughest home team in the league, or there, right along with NYCFC.
Mm-hmm.
Now you build an even better place, and it's just like open bar, right, on Lower Broadway. Like, everyone's in, and everyone's having a fun time, and it shouldn't be that way, and Minnesota does the same. That is, and then you hear Dax McCarty calling out his team. So not the best time in the Music City for sure.
No.
And then my other thumbs down, I'd have to go Red Bulls. Similar reasoning, right? Like, Red Bull Arena should be a place that's tough for other teams to play, and it hasn't been. And they're a team now where, like, Orlando, like, it's funny. Orlando's kind of been their daddy, right? Like with Orlando and Atlanta, right? The whole fun with Joseph and who's your daddy, and right. And that Orlando knocking them out of the cup in a big way, and now winning at RBA. You wonder. We said Seattle before. Could this be the year that Red Bull stopped their playoff streak? Right, like, you've got teams, Cincinnati, Miami, these other teams that are making a push and playing better soccer now, and the Red Bulls are not.
Mm-hmm. Red Bulls have lost 3 of 5. They've only won once in that run,
and they did almost nothing in the transfer window. Like, yeah. It's super disappointing. Like, if you give, you know, we won't completely go down this rabbit hole, but if you're giving grades for the secondary transfer window, for the summer transfer window, Red Bulls have to get either a D or an F, because what do? They brought back a Kyle Duncan on loan. Fine, great. They brought in a young, kind of unproven Brazilian, again, on loan, right, where he doesn't have a lot of time to get acclimated, right? You've got an opportunity to spend money. You've got a DP spot. You've got Tyler Adams transfer money in there, and they do nothing.
That's not good. That's not good.
Doing nothing is not good. No.
No.
All right. Unless you're on vacation.
True. All right. So then, since you've mentioned Red Bull, they are down here at SDHHQ tonight. Not specifically here in the office, but they're here in town playing Atlanta United.
That would be a bigger pitch than Yankee Stadium. Oh.
Wait, did you say that in your out loud voice? You beat me to it. So Red Bulls here tonight. Must win for Atlanta United. You got to take care of all your business at home. What do you think?
Atlanta's playing better. Red Bulls have found the way to get points on the road, obviously, right? One of the better teams in that. But I like what we're seeing from Atlanta, especially they're not saving it for late, but they're finding ways to get late goals, I think, which is a sign of a team certainly fighting together and battling to the final whistle, which Pineda has talked about in the past. So I like Atlanta's ability to kind of continue to do that and get something out of it. Now their issue is, it's great that you come back and battle Cincinnati and get a point, but you kind of need three, right? So you need three here tonight if you're Atlanta, for sure.
No doubt. All right, so let's take a look at the other matches here in the midweek, since you are now in your looking forward mode, since it is now Wednesdays with Dylan. Toronto favored at home on the minus side against the Revs. My play in that one was the total. Take
the over.
Yeah, take the over. 3.5 is at a +130.
Toronto at BMO over. That's the formula. Yeah.
NYC at RBA.
Yeah, right.
Hosting Charlotte. And Charlotte is now, as the show started, Charlotte was at a +500. They're now basically at a +530. I'm looking at NYC in this one. Charlotte got thumped on the road last time out. I think that they're coming back down to earth. intrigue with Philadelphia going to Dallas, and then you've got MLS After Dark with Vancouver hosting Colorado. What about these other four?
Yeah, I think match of the day is Dallas-Philly, right? Because Dallas is, again, seemingly turned it around a little bit, right? Playing their best soccer. You love also their moves, right? Legette fits into their system, it seems like, pretty well. It's funny, Dallas almost, I mean, they've got the homegrown thing going, obviously they always do, but they almost have that feel of a Colorado from a year ago where like they're the island of misfit toys, right? Like these different players who are kind of outcasts from other places are fitting in, an Areola, now a Legette. So, you know, that's worked for them. But yeah, I think their attack is looking really, really good. And Philly's got the best defense in the league. So, and Philly's attack is going well. So that should be a fun one.
All right. And then on the weekend, you've got LAG hosting Seattle on Friday Night Football.
Massive. Yep.
You've got Inter Miami at DRVPNK hosting Toronto on Saturday.
Another great one.
Minnesota, Austin. That one, I know a lot Very of folks good. Looking yep. at that one. You've got, Cali Classico with the twist, LAFC going to San Jose. And then on Sunday, Crew hosting Atlanta, Chicago and NYC, Sporting in Portland, Nashville and FC Dallas to finish the weekend. Some crazy stuff.
Yeah, the ones that you mentioned, I think, to me, are definitely the most intriguing. I think there's a lot of good plot twists there. Miami, Toronto. That could be another goal fest as well. Minnesota, Austin, right? Two teams that are playing really, really well. I'm not as intrigued, I think, with San Jose LAFC just because I think LAFC is so good.
Yeah.
And now with the load management, you would assume you could bring in Bale and he'll do his thing there. But yeah, those and then you're right. I think Nashville, Dallas, and then even, you know, like even an SKC Portland, like Portland desperately needs that win. And SKC could play a little bit of spoilers there as well. So I think as, you know, what is this now? Week 26. I think we're, you know, we're not quite stretch drive, right? We haven't, it's not down the stretch. They come just yet.
Where's Dave Johnson when you need him?
We're turning the corner there at that last stretch. And these matches, as there's jockeying for position in both conferences, they're becoming very, very intriguing. There's no doubt about it.
All right, time for the promo. What's going on with OSDB and with MLSsoccer.com?
That's a good question. I don't even know what I'm going to write this week. I might do like a, I don't know, like a similar to what we're kind of talking about, right? I'll maybe break it down a little bit more, like five big questions down the stretch. Kind of a thing. The Americans invasion story just popped, which, by the way, it's funny. It came out Monday, and then Chris Richards later in the day makes his debut as well, right? So it's good to be an American in the EPL, which is another reason Christian Pulisic should go up to Tyneside to an army.
At Dylan_Butler on the Twitters. Once again, Dylan, thanks for hanging out with us here in the midweek, getting us prepped on a midweek match week. And it's a double match week for those of us in fantasy. So the midweek whip around, it's great to have you as a part of it. We'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right, John. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Dylan Butler, courtesy of our friends at MLSsoccer.com, drinking out of the Yankee mug. And I know that you guys were staring at that. And with everything going on with the Yankees right now, as you see, and Dylan's still in the queue, so I can see him taking another sip of coffee from the new hairstylist outfit known as Yankee Stadium. So once again, Dylan, thanks for hanging out with us and doing your thing and being a part of it all with us here. A couple of other notes before we go, and it's stuff from overseas. You know, we've been following George Bello with what he's been up to at Armenia Bielefeld. Armenia Bielefeld has sacked head coach Uli Forth after just 5 matches. He was only appointed in June as the team's trying to get back to the Bundesliga. They lost all 4 league matches that Fort took charge of, with his only win coming in the German Cup against a fifth-tier amateur side. No surprise, but the World Cup qualifier between Argentina and Brazil suspended last year will not be replayed. Argentine Football Association said on Tuesday, back on September 5th, the match between the two soccer giants canceled after Brazilian health authorities accused several English Premier League players of violating the country's COVID-19 rules. AFA said the case was now resolved. Brazilian Football Confederation and FIFA have gotten together. AFA was ordered to pay a fine of 150,000 Swiss francs, half the amount suspended for a two-year probationary period. Brazil and Argentina have both qualified for the World Cup. Brazil topped CONMEBOL at 45. Argentina had second at 39. Uruguay and Ecuador took the other two automatic spots. Scotland's final UEFA Nations League match will take place in Krakow, Poland, according to the Ukrainian Football Association. Ukraine have hosted their first two home matches in neighboring Poland following Russia's invasion. The game on September 27 will take place at the Marshal Józef Piłsudski Stadium in the home of Cracovia. 15,000 capacity. Tickets could be hard to come by for Scottish fans. Ground's not the biggest in the city. Wisla Krakow's Henrik Raymond Stadium holds 33,000. Scotland hosts Ukraine at Hampden Park on September 21st. Republic of Ireland 3 days later. Joachim Andersen has posted on his Instagram stories that he received 300 to 400 messages of abuse in his DMs following Crystal Palace's draw with Liverpool. Posts included several examples of the abuse he suffered before ending it with a message hoping Instagram and the Premier League can do something. Crystal Palace has spoken to the player to offer him their full support, and the abuse will be reported to the police. So hopefully you can get to the bottom of that. Don't do those kinds of things. It's stupid. So that's pretty much all that needs to be said where that's concerned. And that's a Wednesday. So as I continue to learn all the dials and all of the bells and whistles once again, thanks for everything that you guys are doing. Thanks for all of the conversation that we have here on a daily basis. We'll be back tomorrow. Nico Moreno, I believe, will be on tape because of high school football commitments that I have. So we'll come on for the Power Hour, and Bart Keeler is going to join us at 9:30 tomorrow. So we'll be talking Christian Pulisic. We'll be talking the national team. We'll be talking last night. So I guess it'll be a reaction Thursday, over, under, on par after what happens tonight with Atlanta United and Red Bulls. Once again, for those of you bringing first timers, show them a great time and give them, give them everything that the 17s mean to Atlanta United and show them a fantastic time at Mercedes-Benz tonight. Big match for Atlanta United. Radio coverage at 7 o'clock with Mike and Jason on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. And match a little after 7:30, full hour postgame after that. So that is your Wednesday. Enjoy your time at Mercedes-Benz. Enjoy your time with each other. Enjoy your time watching Atlanta United and Red Bulls. 3 points, got to have it at home, which would mean that you would be a point closer to those at the playoff bar as we go on a double match week. So yes, Bam, cracking Wednesday to all of you as well when it comes to all of your favorite clubs and all that kind of stuff. So thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks to Dylan Butler. And we will be back at it again tomorrow. So once again, as I learn all the new bells and whistles, we're just going to say it this way. Mucha plata, y'all.